And so this butterfly effect, it's a theory that was built on those factors. So, for instance, when there's now one of those hurricanes and they show on TV, I don't know if you notice, now they show a map and then they show like 10 or 20 lines where the hurricane is going to hit. They used to show one line, but then they were failing constantly. They will say, oh, it's going to hit here. And then it was like 100 or 200 kilometers away. So now they show like 10 lines and they say, oh, the probability is that it's going to hit here, but it can go to all these different places. Why? Because they have no ability to predict all the factors. You know, I like to watch sports, some sports. And one of the sports I enjoy watching is soccer. I like to watch, you know, the Premier League in England, and I watch a little bit of the Italian, and I watch a little bit of the Portuguese and a little bit of the Spanish. I like to see, to watch games where the players are really good. When they play well, it's so enjoyable to watch. But we cannot predict who's going to win. Sometimes we may say, okay, it's 1-0. This team is not able to score. They cannot do anything. But then suddenly the other team scores and it's 3-1. And so we are all shocked. How did that happen? Because in those sports, there are these random things that happen. It's not just the talent of the players. But it's when the player runs, the decision. Is he going to kick to the left or kick to the right? And sometimes they make poor decisions. And so in our life, we are subject also to this law or to the butterfly effect. And you cannot see very well, but here there's a little man, and then you see many different roads. Okay? And so in life, we have many times numerous decisions that we can make that will affect greatly our future. And sometimes we make good decisions. Other times, we make a bad decision that translates into a number of different things. And so if we apply the concept of the butterfly effect, we do a tiny thing that we don't even notice, then years later, we have a storm in our life. You know, I've had a few health problems that happened 30 years after I did stupid decisions as a teenager. So I was making decisions of taking drugs, different types of experiences that I made. And then 30 years later, I was with hepatitis in my liver. And so I almost died of that. Why? Because I made a poor decision many years before. I don't even know when I got that disease, but it was probably among friends. And then I decided to do something that I shouldn't. And then years later, I paid the price. And listen, this can happen in our bodies, in our lives, in our soul. Unfortunately, some here, you had bad decisions in your relationships. And so because you chose, you know, a person to be your twin soul, and that person wasn't the right person, then years later, they're suffering, and there's all sorts of consequences that can happen in our life. And when there's sometimes children, it's even more complicated. Things get complicated. But, you know, all these random things that happen in our lives, they have larger costs in the future. There's different outcomes. And so there's people that started to do a philosophy around this. And they say that we have different realities, like we're living in one reality, And then they say that there will be people just like us living in another parallel universe or something. That's all imagination. Because if you think in the principle that's a true principle of the butterfly effect, if that was to happen, many of us will never be born. Because, you know, maybe my dad, instead of marrying my mother, will have made the poor decision to get married with his previous girlfriend. And so I will never be born. And that will be a decision that happened before. So we all do these decisions. Now, good news for you. God will look at chaos and he brings order. I don't have the Bible verse here, but if you read in Genesis 1:1, it says that the earth was void or empty, and the word is chaos. Chaos doesn't actually mean void or empty. It means that it was in a random order and it was under duress, under a storm. And then God comes, the Spirit of God, and he brings order. And he starts addressing the situations, and he sees the darkness, and he says, let there be light. And so God does a creation that we read in the Bible, that it's like a new creation, bringing order out of chaos. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world to bring to zero, to nullify the works of the devil. So the devil, it's an agent of disorder. And God is an agent of order. So when our lives are messed up, because we just allow random things to happen, we go with the flow, and we invite God to come into our lives, what he does, he brings order to a life that is in chaos, in disorder. And so we need to choose the right path that will produce a good outcome. That's why we invite in churches all around the world people to walk in the path with God, to ask God to intervene in their decisions. Because if we ask God to help us in our little decisions, instead of an outcome that produces a butterfly effect, that again, it's the butterfly flaps the wings in the southern hemisphere, and then you have a hurricane happening many thousands of miles of kilometers away, we can trust God looking at this concept to help us to make the right decisions so we'll have a better outcome or a good outcome. And listen, the world, we are entertained by chaos. That's why I like to watch soccer games, because it's chaos. It's 22 people kicking a ball, trying to reach a goal, and sometimes it's very hard for them to do this, and sometimes the best team loses because of all these random things that happen. People love random things. Listen, that's why people buy 649 tickets. The chances of winning the money or the prize in one of those tickets are close to nothing. It's like you have no way that random number is going to end in your pocket. But people keep buying tickets because they think, I'm going to be fortunate. I'm going to be lucky. The random number is going to fall on my numbers here. And so they keep doing this because people are fascinated with random effects, with random things. It's the way we live. It's the way God created us, let me tell you. God created us like this. And so there are some Christians that have a view of the world. They think everything is predetermined. They say everything is predetermined. This is called determinism. So they think, okay, this had to happen. Okay, you had an accident. This was already written. You broke a leg. Oh, this was already predetermined. And it's like we have no choice in life. But this is not how God created us. The predetermined events of God are not the little random decisions that we make with our life. But there's a general picture that God predetermined, yes, that he's going to save the world through his son, Jesus Christ, that is going to be born as a human being. It's himself showing up as creation, and he's going to establish a plan of redemption. So in the end, God loves us so much that he wants us all to be with him forever. However, you and me, we have the choice of being part of that plan of God or of ignoring it and making our own decisions. And so in life, we all make bad decisions. Come on, any of you made bad decisions? We all make awful decisions. And this can cause this impact in our future. And sometimes we don't... I'm changing my slides here, not there. And sometimes we despise these small things. You know, in Zechariah 4:10, it says, do not despise these small beginnings. Because when something is small, we do not think it's important. We do things, we say, oh, that's not a big deal. I told you, in my youth days, I made bad decisions. One of the bad decisions is I started by smoking pot. And then I smoked pot and said, this is not a big deal. So then after pot, I tried some pills, and it says, oh, this is not a big deal. And then I ended up addicted to heroin when I tried it and said, oh, this is not a big deal. But by then I was a prisoner of those bad habits, like, smoking cigarettes. You smoke a cigarette, it's not a big deal. And then you're in your 20s and 30s and you smoke a pack or two. It's not a big deal. But wait until you're 50 or 60 or sometimes 70, or some people go even later. And then there's a cancer. There's all sorts of problems. Then you want to buy a house. You're not insured because they put on the list, do you smoke? And you say, oh, okay, I better lie. Because if I say I smoke, I don't have this mortgage loan. Because they won't give you a mortgage if you're a smoker, or life insurance. Now they don't give you. Or they avoid giving you. Or they ask you more money. And so you think, you know, this is not a big deal. But then it becomes a big deal in your health, a big deal at all levels. So it's small things. And this verse applies to the good and to the bad. Do not despise the small beginnings, the small things, because this will affect you. And how does this affect you spiritually? Because you can be affected spiritually by these things. So let me read a scripture from Paul, the Apostle Paul. It's in Philippians 2:14. He said, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So here's Paul saying something really interesting, and it's a thought that seems like it's elitist, or it's like it's saying you are the elite. You are above everybody else. you are shining stars among people that are crooked. The meaning, it's not to put you on a pedestal and the people around you, they're inferior. It's not the meaning. The meaning is that people around you live in chaos. They just let random things happen. They make their own decisions without inviting God into the process. And so what he's explaining in this scripture is that do not do things as they do. So everything that comes into your hand, you do it without grumbling, without complaining. It's like you're in your job and the boss says, oh, go do that job over there. And he says, why me? Always me. It's always me. Why doesn't I ask to, you know, to Joe or to Mary or where? It's always me. I have to do this. I hate doing this. I hate it. I hate my job. So what Paul is saying is don't have that attitude. He says, do as children, excited to do this. Okay, you ask me to do this. It's not my cup of tea. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I'll do it. And so you do it. And people will see what you are doing. It's good for them. It's good for you. And then you're shining. Then your boss says, oh, that employee, she's the best. He's the best. Whatever I ask, never complaining. You know, it's like a machine, doesn't complain. And so you shine because of this decision you can make in your life. And Paul is saying most people around, they're crooked. And what does it mean to be crooked and twisted? It means that they're not able to see God, a God of order, bringing order into their chaos. And this is important because sometimes we make wrong decisions. I made plenty. I continue doing them sometimes. But I ask God, please help me. I'm doing this. I believe you guided me, but maybe you didn't. Maybe I did a poor choice. Forgive me, God. Show me what to do next. Show me the way. Confirm my steps. And when you invite God into the process, then the random things that you think it's a random thing, it's a blessing of God that happens in order to guide you to a better outcome. Did it ever happen to you that you lose a job and you're all upset? Oh, I lost my income. I lost my job. But you know why it happened? Because God has something better for you. There's something better. You just don't know it. But if you are in God's hands, even those events that seem to be bad are for your own good, for your own improvement. God is doing that. Amen? You know, once I told you the story of one of my first cars that I put a special gas with an additive, and it blew the engine, just exploded. It was an old car, and the thing just exploded. I was so upset. When that happened, I was with my wife. We were recently married, and so I came out of the car. The car was fuming, and there's a car that stops on that busy street close to us, and it was my pastor at the time, and he was laughing. I was so upset with him. He was laughing. He says, what happened to you? What happened to you? Yeah, you're a big piece of junk. Car just blew. And I was so upset. I could bite him. You know, I was so angry. And then he told me, you know what? God has a better car for you. That's a piece of junk Renault car. God has a better car for you. And so I decided to receive it. And I said, okay, I received that God has a better car for me. I don't know how. I had to call a tow truck just to dispose the car. It was garbage. Nothing to do. It was so old. No need to replace the engine. And I kept praying that week. A gypsy pastor, friend of mine, gave me a much better car. And I received it. I was so happy. I was so... And then I arrived with the car with Sarah to Bible school with that nicer car. And everybody said, oh, you bought a new car. I said, yeah, God gave me a new car. And so I had to lose one. If that event didn't happen, I would have received a better vehicle. This is just an example. But I'm sure that if you look into your life, there's things that happen just like this. Because when you have Jesus with you and a random event happens that you think it's a storm, like I lost that car, I think, how am I going to do now? Because I needed the car to go to school. I couldn't take a bus. It was so far away. I needed that car. I had no money to buy a new one. But when we place our lives in God's hands, out of the chaos that sometimes happens, something good will arise. And that's the difference between being a member of the crooked and twisted generation and being the children of God that we ought to be. I'm almost finishing, but let me give you a piece of advice also from Paul. He said in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And listen, you don't need to blow a trumpet to do this. Because some people, you know, they're even annoying because they're always talking about God and Jesus in the wrong place, in the wrong time. And always, and always, and always. And some people get really upset. We need to be wise. But you can do this, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and giving thanks to God, just as an act between you and God. Nobody else has to know. You don't need to, you know, to announce to all your colleagues at work, you know, that God is doing this or God is doing that. Just allow them to see the grace of God happening through you. Concluding, this butterfly effect also happens in a law, a spiritual law. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. So we sow, and then we're going to reap. It's an effect. You plant a small seed, and that small seed can become the biggest of bushes. You plant a mustard seed. It's so small, so tiny. You plant it, and then it can become so big. It's like a tree. And it all happened because you planted that little thing. You know, a few weeks ago, last month, I was visiting my sister, and she has this house, and she bought the house. It's a big property, like not very big, but it's like two acres. Two European acres that are a little bit bigger than here. And so it was just sand and rocks when she bought it. But now it looks very nice. It has a little swimming pool, and it has palm trees, and it has, you know, all these flowers, and it's getting really nice. And she went little by little. There's close to the pool, there's a little wash or a little toilet that she built. And then beside, she started throwing seeds, like fruit seeds. She was eating like a peach and then throwing the the seed, you know, and she just started to do that. And so in that corner now, she has pumpkins, she has watermelons, she has a peach tree. She has all these things growing there. And she's so proud. She said, come here, come and see. Look, here, this pumpkin, I was making pumpkin soup and I just decided I'm going to throw it here. And because there's water and there's shade, she had this pumpkin. She sent me a picture. It grew up to 20 kilos. That's 40 pounds. That's quite a pumpkin. That's quite a pumpkin. And just because she decided to throw those seeds, that decision came to fruition, there was nothing here. It was just sand and rocks. But now it's becoming fertile because every year there's more plants, there's more things happening there. And so her rock and sand property, little by little, is developing, and she says it's her kibbutz. You know what's a kibbutz? A kibbutz, it's an Israeli farm that, they transformed the desert into good farmland. And so that's her project. It's making a kibbutz out of that property that had nothing. And so I'm telling you this, sharing this, why? Because in our life, we can also sow seeds, all types of seeds. We can sow financial seeds. We can sow in other people's lives. We can sow love. We can sow. And then it's the principle that is also involving the butterfly effect. You don't know what that's going to generate, not just for you, but in our case, also for the kingdom of God. Sometimes we do something really small. We don't think about it. And years later, we will see the result. We'll see the result. And you say, oh, wow, that was worth the effort. You know, many years ago, I was living with my family in Ontario, in Hamilton. And I felt that I should go to Africa and help there with in a country in Angola, help a small group there. And so I gathered the money for the trip. It was very expensive. I went there. I met with this pastor that was going through some trouble. And I told him, listen, I don't have a lot of money available, but I can support you. And so what I did, I created a curriculum, a Bible school curriculum, just for him. And I name it with the name of my church in Hamilton. It was called Charisma Church. And so this pastor liked that, and so he adopted Charisma Church, the logo, the curriculum. Then a friend of mine in Edmonton helped too. We started traveling there. We did some seminaries for pastors. We always paid from our pockets. We had no, you go to Africa, you had no offerings, no nothing. So that small group of 50 then became 200. Then the 200 became 1,000. Then the 1,000 became 5,000. Then the 5,000 became 20,000. And it was the name of the church logo, everything. And I felt embarrassed because they will invite me to go there. And they will introduce me as the founder of that church. And I said, I didn't do anything. Really, I did the small seed. I brought some microphones for the church. I brought some knapsacks for kids, for poor kids in those neighborhoods. And so it became a huge church. And now it's one of the nice churches you can find in Angola. And all started with a little seed. No, I don't want to take honor because of that, or I don't want to say, oh, I did this. No, I didn't. I just planted a little seed. And it was very hard for me to pay for that trip, to go all the way. You know, it's sometimes 24 hours in airplanes going to all places, to Germany and then to South Africa and then back, and all those trips and in the field and the dangers and all those things. But at the end, I know when I get to heaven, that counts on my account. So I'm telling you this because sowing, it's not just financial sowing. Because you have a number of people that teach in churches, oh, you want to be blessed, you give here. Okay, let's pass a bucket. You need to give this. Or if you want to get a great blessing, you're going to give like $1,000. And I've been in places like this. I've been in places where even people that I love and I consider as men of God, they will say, come here, line up here. This line, it's $1,000. You don't have $1,000? We're going to make one here for $500. Is there anyone for $500? There's no one for $500. Let's make one here for $100. It's like an auction. It's like an auction. And people feel constrained. And they give their money. But that seed, it's not a good seed. Because the good seed can be $1, one penny. And you planted like the widow that planted in the right time. And Jesus says, she gave more than anybody else. And so, listen, the law of sowing and reaping, we need to understand it properly. But we need to sow. If you do not sow with your life, sow your time. Sow time into God's kingdom. Sow a little bit of time to knock at your neighbor's door and say, hey, there's a Christmas party. And I want to give you 2 tickets. I want to invite you to go to this Christmas party. What are you doing? You're investing your time, your energy, and you're trusting that God will pick that choice of that person and change their lives forever. I'm done. I had more stuff to talk, but I'm concluding. I'm done with the message for today. So just a sentence from... I had it. I don't know if I can get there quickly. It's my last verse, Sarah. It's a sentence from Joyce Meyer. It says, you can run into mediocrity accidentally, but you have to purpose to be excellent. It's right at the end. So we can make bad choices. So accidentally, a random choice can lead us easily to mediocrity. Mediocrity is something inferior. However, if we purpose, we will have an excellent result. Just believe it. I would like to pray for you. Is that fine? Is that okay that I pray for you? So all the bad choices you made and the good ones got you here where you are. Maybe you look around and say, oh, I wish I had a bigger house. Oh, I wish I had more money in my pocket. Oh, I wish I had this. And wishing is good. It's hope. It's a form of hope. But it's not enough to wish. You can then purpose. And when you purpose, you say, God, I know I've arrived here. I know I don't have a solution, but you do have. Show me what to do. And maybe God will lead you to do a small sowing and change the outcome. I was telling you this. It just came to my mind. One of the intercessors that worked with me. It was one of the persons that changed my life. She was from a kingdom in South Africa. Beautiful woman. She was... The Miss of her, those Miss contests, she was elected the most beautiful in that kingdom. And it's a small kingdom in South Africa. And so she ended up getting married with the royal family there. But she loved God and she was always getting the gifts and the money giving to the poor. And the husband made her life miserable, because he didn't want her to do so. So she ran away first to England, then she ran to Portugal, and she was there. Nobody knew who she was. She was just beautiful. She was a beautiful, black woman, so beautiful that people will look at her. And so she was a woman of God, an intercessor. She had 3 kids, and she wanted the kids to study in English schools, and she had no money. And God will lead her to pray for people. And she was just in the street, and she prayed for someone. She saw a woman with a child with a deficiency. She said, can I pray for your child? and she prayed for the child, and God healed the child completely. It was a miracle, a miracle in the street. And so that person built a relationship and then told her, Alice, I'm going to pay school for all your kids, all your three kids, private school to university, I'm paying her school. She got free school for the kids with no job, no money. And then what she will do, she will evangelize every day. She was bringing people to church. I was the pastor. She was every day. She said, Alice, how do you do that? And she said, oh, I go to the bus stop and I just stay there. She dressed really nice. And people will tell me, oh, you look so beautiful. And she will answer, so do you. But do you want to know why I look beautiful? It's because I have Jesus in my life. It was her way of evangelizing. She was always doing this. So almost every day she was bringing people. And I was doing services every day. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day I'll do a service. Every day she will bring more people and more people and more people. And because of that sowing in people, randomly, we think, some of those people out of gratitude provided for her, for her house, for the kids, for everything. And it was her job was evangelizing. Isn't that crazy? I think, how is that possible? And I used to think, how is that possible? She was just in the street. And sometimes things like she was in a bench in a garden, and the wind will bring money to her feet. Bring money. She'll pick up the money. And then she'll come and tell, hey, pastor, you want to know what happened? I was there sitting. And all kinds of miracles always happening. That's why, you know, she changed my way of seeing the world, of seeing God and seeing things. I don't have that type of faith. But she had. And it touched me so much. It influenced me then to do steps in my life. And listen, you can run easily into a mediocre life. But if you invite Jesus Christ into your life, the outcome will be extraordinary. I hope Alice will watch this. I don't know where she is now, that she will watch this video. Okay, so let's stand. I want to pray for you. And as we conclude today, I talked about this butterfly effect. If you watch the old movie on Netflix, it's kind of interesting. It has nothing to do with spiritual things. But it's also about this new scientific theory. Well, new, it has 7 years. But what God has for us is far above what we can think or imagine. So small things that you do, you know, a glass of water you give to someone, someone that you help on the subway station, a random stranger that you help, all that sowing, God wants to bless you. Amen? So God, I pray for all of us here and people watching online, and God, maybe people that are under severe storms caused by an innocent choice, a poor choice in the past.